Well, I just think it was a great time. I think we had a great time actually in Myrtle Beach, despite different little things that come up. But all in all, it just shows us what direction God will have us go, and he'll have us move, and then we just readjust to what God is showing us to do and just keep doing that. Like, you know, there's been great strength built, great vision, great direction for those that receive the words gladly. So it really comes back down to those that receive the words gladly, what we're sharing, what we're doing, what we're encouraging, and then to continue in those things, you know. And that we practice that, you know. It's like, at the end of the day, some of the words may sound a little bit harsh, like when I say we're not here for friends. But of course we're going to make friends, right? But we're not, that's not the main reason we are there. We're there for ourselves to be strengthened for our fields and for our focus and for our vision and for our direction and hearing what God is saying. And then we can also learn how other people are going through maybe different situations or challenges, recognizing that we're not on our own, that there are other things going on, and everyone's growing through different things. You know, like lots of people have different paradigms and old things to renew themselves to from where they were in their attitudes and their hearts and their minds. All of us have that. And so, but we're all looking to God, and we're, you know, we're practicing. And if we follow the practice or the encouragement that's been given already, the simple, I would just say, for us to continue on strongly is to continue in the basics of what we began with. You know, so now we're 6 years down the road from where we began. And the very basic things were, number one was just, you know, look to God, our confession, you know, saying what we want, not what we see. Come back to that, because it's very easy to lose sight of something like that. You know, because we get used to confessing, we get used to saying what we want and not what we see. And, you know, we might have started off manufactured to get going, and then we get in a rhythm with God, and then we just get used to it. We get blessed, and then we start to enjoy the blessings, and then the practice we forget. And because we're strong in the blessings, but the practice can slide off very easily, if you know what I'm saying. So it's, you know, saying what we want, not what we see, staying connected, use our connections, you know, wisely and consistently and properly, like be more regular on the one-on-ones. That's, I think that's a great thing, especially if you're feeling lonely, you know, like, number one, you can find out what's going on, what God's doing. And especially that I work with other people as well, you know, I understand that you can feel lonely. You can have loads of people around you, because we're all desiring to see God's word move all over the world. So being around people that are desiring that, that are hungry for that, that's where we need to be, rather than making a friendship with someone or other people or situations. You know, what's your heart for God? How much do you want to see the word move? What are you doing? Like, you know, what has God done for you? And that's what we're looking for. And not, we shouldn't always be struggling, even though there might be times of struggle that can arise easily. You know, we should really overcome it, because the just live by faith, not by sight. So God really wants us to say what we want, not what we see. He wants us to get into that and keep into the rhythm of confession of, no, I am prosperous, I am successful, I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am strong, I am moving, I am the head and not the tail, I am victorious, you know, I'm wiser than my enemy. My God has given me, you know, good spiritual discernment and eyes open, and I'm walking in that revelation and wisdom of God, and God has given to me the spiritual wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and God is opening up great doors for me to speak his word, and his word will I speak. Thy word will I speak, God, you know. He makes my feet like hinds' feet. He sets me upon my high table, you know. And he's ordered my steps in his word, and he's not letting any sin have authority over me, that the things that come against me melt, they dissolve, you know, because I am the light in this world. I'm, you know, I'm of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness. And I got God in Christ in me, and I speak his words. And the words I speak, their spirit and their life. Just like Jesus said, the words I speak, their spirit and their life, and they are quick, they're powerful, they're sharper than any two-edged sword, and they're, you know, that those words cut right through to the marrow of the bone, you know, right into the nitty-gritty of life situations or life's problems. And in God's, you know, shown us, you know, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you know, you let your request be made known unto me. Don't sit there, don't dwell on the problem, but rather visualize and see yourself moving in the answer, that you're already living in the freedom that you desire, that you already have the abundance that you desire. See yourself living that way, speaking that way. See yourself rejoicing and giving your testimony to other people. You can see it in your mind. And, you know, God wants us to continually to practice that simple thing, because our words are framing our world all the time. Everything we say, everything that we think and get involved with our emotions will happen because we start to speak it. So we don't want it to be on the negative side. We want it to be on the positive side, right? So we need to marry our words and our emotions and our thoughts together to release the power of the things that we desire. So that, you know, when we're speaking, we are speaking in faith. We're not just speaking this through because we know something, but it's really in our hearts and we mean what we say. And we say what we mean, just like God. He means what he says, and he says what he means. Was it? It says that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Have he not said it, and shall he not make it good? God's going to make good on what he's spoken. And we know that God calls those things which are not as though they were. When he said, light became. When he told, you know, at the beginning of the creation what he was going to do, it obeyed him. And so now, you know, our words will obey us. You know, the situations, our atmosphere that we live in, our own circumstances and atmosphere of what we surround ourselves is what we've created through our thoughts, our imagination and our speaking. So really, I think, you know, meditate upon, you know, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, you know. That's what David said. And so in other words, we know the meditation, you know, the pondering the paths of our feet, pondering what God says about what he's going to do, rather than pondering the path of the bank manager or the doctor or anybody else's words. We ponder, you know, what God says. We meditate upon that. We give ourselves wholly to it. And, you know, so that we can really keep in sync in our hearts and minds and have hope and have vision and have direction. And, you know, in fact, Habakkuk 2:2 in verse 1, like God says, I will stand upon my, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. So he's positioning himself and will watch or wait to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision. You know, write the vision. And I'm encouraging now, today, write the vision. Again, I've already encouraged it before when I began back in 2020, when I was practicing and doing this already. I started to encourage it, and I really feel like God wants me to encourage it again right now. So, you know, write the vision. And make it plain upon tables, that he may run that readeth it. So write your goals down, write your desires down, write what you want to see down as already done as well. You can write it as done and a goal to achieve. And then when you read it, you run to do it. You act in faith. And I was saying before we left Myrtle Beach, we need to act upon our faith, not just have the confession, but actually move towards it as the doors open for us and allows us to do it, so that we can run that read of it. You know, I've got my desires written down. I can read it. I can be reminded. I could be encouraged by it as well. And I can run to do it. Because it says, for the vision is yet for an appointed time. It's something that is in our imagination, right? It's something that's ahead of us. for the vision is yet for a point of time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. It'll show up, it'll manifest. Though it's tarrying now, type of thing, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. And that's why we have to be faithful, because when we're going through something, you know, we got these great desires. We want to see the word move all over the world. We want to travel. Then you got hit in the health or hit in the finances, and then you feel alone. Then you can easily get into the other realms, what will bring you down in faith, which is the wrong fellowship, the wrong people, the wrong conversation, the wrong thoughts, the wrong meditation. See? So we got to keep ourselves upon the watchtower. We got to make sure that enemy ain't approaching our fortress, and the fortress of our minds, and the fortress of our heart. You know, we're watching, and then we get the cry. A person would stand upon the watchtower to cry out to everyone that the enemy was coming, right? So we stand upon the watchtower of our heart and of our mind. And when we see the negatives creep up, the negative emotions and feelings creep up, we start saying what God says. You know, we cry out God's words with faith. So the vision is yet for appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, but it will surely come. It will not tarry. In other words, it seems like we've waited a long time, but when it comes, it's going to be, well, like it came really quick, right? So, you know, God knows our hearts, and he wants us really blessed. All of us made the effort to get to Myrtle Beach. It cost all of us something, time, effort, energy, finances, resources. And then there was the growth amongst the people that, you know, had some personality clashes or attitudes. But those are all things that we can meditate upon to see, okay, well, that's not going to happen again to me. I'm going to watch what I say or how I move or how I react. I'm going to watch how I, you know, do those things. So, you know, I can be on the ball and I can really not get caught out in the emotion of what somebody else is saying. So we can learn from everything, can grow from it, and we keep a positive mind. And, you know, and we wish if someone doesn't want to run with us, that is absolutely fine. They're absolutely free. And we just continue to move on. It's not my, once that person's moved on from me or from you, it's not our focus anymore. Yeah, we might have a little bit of a moan or a sadness or whatever the thing may be, but they're not really worried about being with us. So we just keep ourselves concerned of moving with God, if you see what I'm saying. That's what God wants us to do. And so that's what I'm doing. And then, you know, that I don't have to spin my wheels about anything, really. Once other people have made up their mind what they're doing in my life, and it's away from me, then I've got no responsibility for them. So anyway, getting back to my vision, my desire. What is your desire? God's desire is that all men be saved, come to a knowledge of the truth. If we keep that at the forefront of our heart, like that's God's desire, so we make God's desire our desire. Father, you need to bring these laborers. It's a need for me to have a laborer. So when Jesus was telling these guys to pray for laborers, he was basically saying it's a need for you to do that. You know, pray like it's a need in your life, and it is a need in our life. If we have laborers, we'll see the word move. We'll have an abundance. We'll have strength. There's safety in a multitude of counselors, right? For the most part, we see a lot of people just divided up because of the different doctrines. And so that's why, you know, like Paul, he says, you know, I didn't come to you with excellency of speech, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of God and with power. He was manifesting the power of God, bringing healing, bringing deliverance, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, just like Jesus did. He set the example and showed us how to do it. And in the book of Acts, we see these wonderful leaders that were walking with God done the same. Now it's our turn. Now we can heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, you know. So my desire and my vision and my goal is that we write the vision, make it plain, and God will work it in your heart for you, like he's working it in my heart to move God's word in all of the UK, all of Europe, and the world. That's one of my desires, visions, and goals. The other ones is to receive ready-to-go labourers, people that are ready to go. You don't have to spend and invest like 6 or 7 years just to get them to speak in tongues or get them to honour God. That they're ready to go right away. Like, that's what we want. Ready-to-go labourers. I want ready-to-go labourers. You know, God is the control tower. I am the airport. And God is sending to my airport those ready-to-go labourers. That's what I'm praying. Those ones that are equal to a billion. Father, you send to me those ones that are equal to a billion. And then my other desire here that I've written down is to acquire all the necessary resources to accomplish the goals and goal. So there's many little goals as we move towards the big goal of seeing God's world over the world. And those little goals are traveling, going to new areas, seeing people, you know, opening up and moving in their areas, because we've gone and we've encouraged, and that we're hungry to do these things with God. Like, your desire, Ethel, is to move with God. You want to travel. Keep that as a great desire. Don't let the money be the thing that stops you, because money isn't the thing that stops you. And because we got faith, and the just shall live by faith. We don't live by what we see, but what we desire, and the words that God gives us, and that we go to him for him to provide those resources for us. He's got to make the way. If he's given us the vision, he's going to give us the provision. God gives the vision and he gives the provision. So that's what my confession is and my focus is. And don't matter what my finances look like, God is faithful. God will always supply all my need according to his glorious riches by Christ Jesus. I honor God with my substance and the first fruits of all my increase. So just like it says in Malachi, you know, what does it say? When we look in Malachi, it says that God will protect the fruit of the ground. Like, you know, Malachi chapter 3. It says, I'll read it. It says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Well, when I sow my honouring God, and this is talking about the tithe and offerings, right? It's, in fact, actually, it just says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. So the tithes, just from the tithe, there should be overpouring of blessings. The window of heaven should open up to pour me out a blessing, that there's not enough room for me to receive it. I should be expecting that. And then God also says, and I will rebuke the devourer, the enemy, for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Everything will be perfect for seed time and harvest, for growing, sowing, and reaping. And, you know, just like when God said to Isaac, stay in the land and sow in the land. It was a famine. God told him to stay right where he was. Don't run to Egypt like everybody else's. Sow your seed there, and God multiplied it 100 times. We got to have a greater expectation on God, and our confession needs to match our expectation. So we can't sow our seed and think, well, I hope God comes through, and I hope God will give me big abundance. No, God is giving me a big abundance. God is multiplying my seed 100 times. Even if it isn't happening that way, we can still believe, still expect, and still confess that way. You know, and as God works in our hearts. And that's what we want to do. We want to confess as God works in our heart. So God says, he rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. So my labourers should be protected. I'm sowing in my field as well, so my labourers should also be protected. My field should be prospering and flourishing and growing, see? The people in my field should be prospering, flourishing and growing, if they're also doing the same. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts, and all nations shall call you blessed. Why? Because you're able to give, you're able to encourage, just like we see the Indian and the Pali believers. We go over there, everyone's calling them blessed because they're hot. Everyone's calling them blessed because they're doing signs, miracles and wonders, raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, casting out devils. And they're freely giving, and they're freely receiving, and they're freely blessing, and they're happy to do it. And it says, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. How beautiful is it when we go to Nepal, when we go to India, because we see the love, the joy, the togetherness, the strength of the believers individually and being together in the masses, and the excitement that they have, and it's just spreading everywhere. That's what we need. So we just need to stay focused with what we're doing, because God will bless us. And then it says over here, and all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. Your words, and then God challenges them about their words. He says, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? We haven't said anything. And God says, yes, ye have said it is vain or empty to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances, and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy. So they were moaning, that they were saying it was not profitable doing all the things that God wanted them to do. And then they started to moan, and they become pretty. He says, we call the proud happy. So he's saying the people that are proud, they're happy. We're not. Yea, they that work wickedness are set up for life. They're doing all the wrong things, but they're set up. Look at us. We're suffering. We're going without. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. And look at us. We're imprisoned. We're ensnared, and we're doing what God wants us to do. That's how they were speaking. Then they that feared the Lord spake one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. So like God's going to give them understanding, they're going to learn. And the ones that respect God, that they come back to God and they respect him and acknowledge him and think about all these things. So that Malachi is a great record to read and meditate upon, what I just read you. Malachi 3:10-18, and God can open it up to you if you just ask him to show you. And so God really is listening to what we're saying. We can't complain and moan as believers, well, I'm doing everything right, but God haven't come through for me. God is not a man that he should lie. If we've done what he said from our heart, he'd do what he says. And that's the one thing we have to remember. If we complain, then we just say, okay, God, yeah, I did moan and bitch. I'm sorry. I recognize now, like, that you are faithful, and it's me. I was stopping the blessings through my own actions and through my own words. And that's what happens with people. And then another vision I wrote down is to be successful in all good things I set myself to achieve. So basically everything that God puts in my heart to achieve for him, and what, you know, I believe God's working in my heart to do, I want to achieve it and be successful in it. Because when God is with us, we will be successful. And when we're listening to God, we will be successful. When we're saying what he says, we will be successful. But when we're just doing our own thing, ignoring the most important things, then God won't honour it. He can't honour that, you know. He's a faithful God. And, you know, like he says about listen to his anointed and do them no harm. A lot of people speak about the leaders or put them down. Can't do that. You know, it's not a good thing to do. You know, just ask the people that spoke against Moses. What happened to them? Read it in the records. You know, we shouldn't speak against God's men and women, you know, that are doing good and that are leading well from the integrity of their heart or to the best of their knowledge, because it's not beneficial for us if we do that, and it's not beneficial for them, because you're speaking against what God wants. And then the other goal is and desire is to be led by the Spirit of God and to be pleasing in his sight. You know, all of us want to be pleasing, like with my mum and my dad, even though they were mad when how they lived their lives, I always wanted to be pleasing before them. You know, we all want people to like us and love us and be with us. And, you know, but we can be quick to judge and things like that ourselves. So we have to consider ourselves, you know, that we have that spirit of meekness and that we walk in love and we walk in light. And, you know, we walk honestly and faithfully and, when situations come up, we deal with people rightly as well, if we're wrong, we should be big enough to say we're wrong. If we're right, we should stand our ground and hold to what God has shown us. And then we should be forgiving, loving, encouraging, and then speaking those heavenly words. And that's why I've learned just to, when I see something, and it needs to be addressed, I just address it now, because there's no point in messing around. I'm not messing around. I want to do what God wants. I don't want anybody else to hinder me. If I'm not hindering me, I certainly don't want anybody else to hinder me, do I? And I don't want to hinder anybody else, but God has called us together to move together, to be together, to encourage one another. No one's better than anyone else. We're all got a job to do. We're all sons and daughters of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, as well as we have specific functions to function in. We can all lead. We can all speak. We can all move. We can all, minister with the power of God if that's our desire to do that with God. So my encouragement is just stay faithful where you are. Don't be moved away, by money or by people or by circumstances, but stay with God, because he's going to bring you your abundance that you need for your ministry. And he's going to bring me my abundance that I need for my ministry. I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing. I haven't stopped doing the simple things I began to do. And the things that have worked, I've carried on doing and being faithful in it. And then enjoying myself in the meantime, And some people may not understand certain things, and that's fine, but if they're humble, they can stick around and learn the meaning of something, like getting the flights together and stuff like that. If people ask questions, if they're not sure, then it can always settle the answer in someone's heart and think, oh, I didn't even think like that. Oh, I should have took time and thought about that way instead of judging. And so judge not, lest you be judged, and with what judgment you judge it, you shall be measured back to you again. Pressed down, shaken over, shall man give back into your bosom, type of thing. So yeah, we have to be careful in all things, conduct ourselves with the right heart and mind. And really, our ministry is a ministry of edification, not destruction. We want to build people up. We want to encourage people. We want to bless people. So yes, my darling, that what was in my heart to share, and God is really moving. God is really working. We just stay with God. We stay faithful. Don't be so easily, moved. Don't let the circumstances press you out. We've done, God's covered these things with wonderful sharings like, let not your heart be troubled, that terrazzo, where you're agitated inside or agitated from your circumstances, where the pressure tries to get in on the inside of you from the outside through maybe what you're going through or in your circumstances, so that we bring everything subject to Christ. God's covered everything on these things, and really, we just really need to just focus on God and keep him first. That's all we need to do. So God bless your heart.